Well, good morning and welcome to HealthLink On Air on this first Sunday in March. HealthLink On Air is brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, here to bring you your weekly dose of health and medical information. Well, Central New Yorkers experienced lambs and lions this past week's weather, and it is March, and that means winter will wind down sooner rather than later. The groundhog seems like ancient history. We have a busy month ahead of us, and a busy morning, too. We'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Dave Smith, President of SUNY Upstate, and his review of a report issued by the Commission on Higher Education, what it holds for SUNY, including Upstate and Central New York. Then Rosemarie Nelson, a physician practice management consultant, will talk to us about the realities doctors' offices face when it comes to the business aspects of their practices, why we wait for appointments, HIPAA regulations, paperwork, staffing, a good conversation to provide us with a doctor's point of view. And later, Dr. John McCabe, emergency department chair from SUNY Upstate and University Hospital, will talk to us about some of the doctor exchange programs his team participates in. We'll take a trip around the world. But for now, it's time to get started. As we like to do each Sunday morning, let's begin with some news and views.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
Well, a few weeks ago, we received word and information about Governor Spitzer's proposed budget for 2009. As we all know, New York State joins the rest of the nation in its economic woes, and the proposed budget certainly reflected that theme, more promising to higher education in general, and SUNY in particular, which locally includes both SUNY Upstate Medical University and SUNY ESF Environmental Science and Forestry, is a report which came from the Commission on Higher Education. So here to tell us more about that report is Dr. Dave Smith, President of SUNY Upstate and one of our frequent guests. Good morning. Welcome back, Dr. Smith.
Good morning.
Tell me what the Commission on Higher Education is.
Well, this is a report that was initially envisioned by former Chancellor of SUNY, Chancellor John Ryan, which was to begin to look at really how do we build one of the finest public university systems in the country. And it was going to be a collaborative between SUNY and CUNY. So it was an opportunity for this commission to look at a number of different states, benchmark that, and determine what we need to do to get to really, truly excellence.
Excellent. Now, let me just ask you quickly. SUNY, State University of New York. CUNY is?
City University of New York.
Right. And there are, 64 campuses across SUNY. I remember that. And I think maybe a couple dozen CUNY. So this is a lot of universities in New York State.
It really is. And, you know, in the case of SUNY alone in State University of New York, you have almost just short of a million students that are educated every year in the SUNY system.
Wow, that's
so
impressive.
It is the largest system in the country. And of course, with CUNY added together, you of course surpass anything in any other state by a long percentage.
Absolutely. Now, this was a state commission then?
Yes, it was. And the report was then to go to the executive branch in Albany, which is the governor's office, for him to determine his priorities as he tries to build the finest public system in the country. The bottom line here is to really deal with two fundamental issues, which is, of course, providing access, and secondly, to look at excellence. And that's what you see in the balance of this report.
Those are two very noble and wonderful goals, access and certainly the best system and the best education for our students. So there were recommendations, and I believe there were probably dozens of recommendations, but there are some that you've pulled out that are particularly hopeful and exciting for Central New York. Can you tell us about them?
Well, there are, and of course, we can't forget the community colleges in all of this. Of course, OCC, our own Onondaga Community College, is just a superb system as well, and particularly when one looks at access and the ability to get first-generational students and many others into higher education, which we desperately need. This is economic development at its roots. The things that we're fundamentally excited about in the governor's recommendations and within the report really fall into about four areas. Number one is there's a major discussion about the ratio of students to faculty and the fact that in SUNY and CUNY, number one is we have a relatively high ratio of students to faculty, and that's a metric we use in higher education. I'll give you a quick example here at Upstate Medical University. We're 45th out of 126 medical schools in enrollment. But if you look at student-to-faculty ratio, and particularly students to our basic scientists, in other words, our researchers, we rank 117th out of 126.
Now, that doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't, and it's really symptomatic of a larger problem that we have here within the SUNY and CUNY systems, and is why the report recommended that over 2,000 additional faculty, full-time faculty, be hired through the two systems. And I think that's an incredible need. In fact, some would argue the number may even be higher. In addition, the recommendation suggested that we bring in 250 what everyone would call exemplary faculty that are more senior and will bring a lot of research to the state of New York.
And that includes bringing research dollars, of course, which is always good for the economy as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the data there, and that is another recommendation, is to build a $3 billion investment fund for research to add on to what we're already doing in stem cell. The economic development impact is this way, and that is that for every $1 million of research, we see the addition of 29 jobs, paying jobs to the economy. So even besides the fact that research creates hope mm-hmm. and a lot of new knowledge, there's a fundamental here in economic development and vibrancy for Central New York, and we're very excited about that as well. Recently, SUNY Upstate Medical University just achieved the rank as being the 12th highest research institution in the state of New York in both the public and private sector. So the combination of everything from Cornell to Columbia and all of the SUNYs, we are now 12. We have risen to 12. And we have a little over $40 million of research a year, and we look like we're going to continue to see an increasing trajectory. So those faculty are vital, and that $3 billion investment is vital. For us to catch up with states like Wisconsin, which, by the way, where we have 373 clinical faculty full-time at Upstate Medical, UW-Madison has 1,042. Wow. So that gives you a sense of scale.
Absolutely. Well, I have to think, too, though, if you're going to bring all this extra research and all this faculty, you need space.
That's correct.
Was space addressed?
Space was addressed. There was a very deep discussion around the fact that we have a lot of deferred maintenance, old buildings, and we don't have sufficient nor modern space in SUNY. This is similar to the report that came out in 1985 that said we were very behind the times. And again, if one looks at our peer states, whether that's Pennsylvania, one looks at Georgia, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Texas, we are very far behind, and this investment is vital. Another area that was looked at in addition to that is the need to build an endowment for SUNY and CUNY, and that's a recommendation of a $5 billion endowment, which would generate about $250 million a year, which would really enable us to have the same kind of competitive investment that you see in Harvard or in places like the University of Texas, which would then allow us to have a mechanism to fund those faculty that are desperately needed in our classrooms.
That sounds great. Now, all of these proposals were put together. What happens to them next? How do they come to fruition?
Well, as you're aware, the governor has made some recommendations in his budget going forward and in how he has articulated the need to move forward with the Commission on Higher Education. The reality around this, of course, is the current economy and the state of the economy, and we're all nervous about that. But this really is a journey, and we see this as a 4 to 5 year journey, and some of it out 10 years. There's also a call for more degrees and more outreach into the region. In our case, that is to respond to the number of the shortages we see in health professions. So all in all, there's great alignment with the mission that we see here for Upstate Medical University, and I think bodes well for ESF and OCC.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, it's very hopeful and it's very promising. I look forward to seeing what happens with all of it. And I have no doubt you'll be right there in the thick of things campaigning to make it all happen. Thanks so much, Dr. Smith.
Well, thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Spare the rod and grow a calmer brain? My dad was often beaten as a child. Now, I love my dad and he loved me, but no surprise, like most kids who are beaten, he grew into an adult who had trouble managing frustration, chronically irritable, frequently bent out of shape, yelling about little stuff. And like many abused people, he used chemicals to, quote, calm my nerves, smoking cigarettes most of his life, 2 packs a day. Research shows that people with anger problems will likely develop heart disease. Dad had his first heart attack in his 50s. Luckily, he quit smoking then. When he and his best friend, Khan, retired after 35 years working in the New York City subways, I taught them to play golf. Dad was no happier on the course than off it, unhappy with his shots, the wind, other golfers, his score. He even threw his clubs into a lake once, cursing, then waded in to get them back. He died predictably of heart disease, never got to see my wonderful sons. His friend Khan's parents were more caring. He wasn't beaten like my dad, and Khan had a sunnier disposition, quick with a good-humored joke or story. When I was a kid and our families went on day trips together, I liked to ride in Khan's car. It was just easier in there. He played at golf all the time, walking the course, was rarely sick, and we walked and talked and played our last game 2 years ago. My dad died in 1986 at 78. Last week, I went to Con's funeral. He was 99. Looking at Con in his coffin and then thinking back to my dad's funeral, the research findings about how child rearing affects mental and physical health were right there. My father's parents didn't cuddle him and teach him to soothe himself, and that stress took a toll. Con, who was cared for, never smoked or drank, almost never sick, not only went with the flow, he made the flow easier for others. New research is showing that good parental caring actually develops a different infant brain that cascades lifelong into feeling good about oneself, being good to oneself and others, and living longer, happier, healthier. And you know that biblical expression, spare the rod, spoil the child? Accurately translated, has nothing to do with justifying beating our kids when we're angry. It means to teach our kids society's norms or laws, how to be good to each other, how to do unto others. So when we have trouble keeping on an even keel, instead of having a temper tantrum, take the fork in the road to cuddling your brain with meditation or yoga or psychotherapy or exercising, or in a crisis moment, maybe just a few deep calming breaths. All tap into and develop a calmer pathway in the brain. Get our good feelings and smile going, and maybe bring out the smiles in others. Here's smiling at you, kid. I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.